All right. I want to speak this morning on being bold. That's the theme for the series. But I want to talk about bold worship. Bold worship. Now we talk about worship, but I want to talk about bold worship. There's something about worship that you can do it as a ritual, you can do it as a fill the slot and kind of sing a few songs, go home, back to your nice meal, and then forget about Jesus and everything, you know? But I want to talk about bold worship that is full of faith, that worship that moves God. That worship that when you worship Jesus, that God and heaven is watching and He's moving because you're worshiping, not because how well you play or sing, but you're worshiping the one true living God with faith and with belief and trust to say, God, in you I trust. Yeah. Amen. So I want to talk on the bold worship and my key text today, and I'm going to basically use this text from Luke chapter 6, and it's about the lady that goes before Jesus and sort of starts crying, and she starts worshiping Him and you know, kissing His feet. So that's my context there, and I want to break a few points from that and talk about this bold worship and what it means to have this bold worship. But before I go into the singing and dancing, clapping and all that, I want to talk about worship is not about a song. Worship is not about a song. It's not about music. It's not about good feeling. You know, we kind of have this misunderstanding about worship. Nor it's about the genre of music. It's old songs. You know, there are very, very old songs. But there are old songs where blessing and honor, glory and power. Some of these young guys are going, what on earth are you singing? Be unto the Ancient of Days. You know? Anyway, it's not about a new song, old song. It's not about a hymn. It's not about a tune. Nor it's about out of tune. There are some in this church who can really sing out of tune. But they don't mind singing. And it's not about that. It's not about the tempo. It's not about a technical, you know, structure or the beat. Nor it's about a practical style. Although these are important, but they are not. They are an overflow of a love relationship with God. Amen. Those things are, thank you, Doug. Amen. You know, those things are important, but they are a byproduct of who you are. All those things, the singing, the dancing, the clapping, the technicality and all that stuff, they are a byproduct. They're an overflow of who you are and the love relationship you have with Jesus. Now, growing up, as most of you know, I grew up in a high Anglican church. And from a high Anglican church until 14, I just had the knowledge about Jesus. I had recited the verses purely because when I recite a verse, I got given some treats. If I didn't recite a verse, I got told off. And so I did it anyway. But at the age of 14, I had an encounter with God and I got saved in a Pentecostal church. And I gave my heart to God. And I tell you what, all that knowledge somehow became alive and it kind of came to life in my heart. There's only a tiny little gap between my heart and my mind, but it took a long time for them to connect. So growing up, you know, I grew up with hymns, and so I used to watch my dad sing hymns, you know, "Oh, great thou art." And a little kid, I would go, "Wow, what happened to him? That's not how he talks. Why is he singing that way?" Because I was focused on the style. And then I go into this Pentecostal church. I purely went in there for girls. Not for God, but thank God I met God, then I met a girl, but that's the different story, you know. And I thought, there's girls in this church, let's go, you know. I'm being honest, just my motives. And then I went there and I grew up, and so, see these Pentecost, so I grew up with hymns, and it was difficult for me when I was in the Anglican church. Man, we were like this. And when the bishop came, we had to move Jesus aside because the bishop was in the house. You know, high Anglican man, it's scary. I feared the bishop more than Jesus. And it's true. And then Pentecostal, and they're all going, whoo, whoo, whoo. You know, I was going, wow, what is this? What on earth is this? They are loonies. I'm going to tell my dad about this Pentecostal church. I was a little kid, 14-year-old. But now, I see my children, and this is scary, and they're playing this rap, Christian rap. And they're grooving to that. I'm like, Jesus, I pray that you rebuke this music. It's not about music, but I'm going to get there because we focus, when we say worship, we focus so much on styles. We focus so much on music. We focus so much on genre. But worship really is about your life that brings a fragrance to God. That's what worship is about. I'm going to get there. And I want to give you a little bit here. Now, as I talked about my children singing Christian rap, listening to Christian rap, and Leo, my 10-year-old, can rap it all out. He can rap Lecrae, Halvey. There's a few different people that I'm talking like I know it. I don't, but coming in hot. Coming in hot. Hello, what are you coming? Just come in. Don't come hot or cold. Just come in. Coming in hot. Yeah. How styles change. How seasons change. But God never changes. Amen. And Lecrae, I want to talk about Lecrae. Lecrae is a black rapper. And he wrote most of his songs. This is the thing. He wrote most of his songs by attending or watching sessions of this one of the great apologists who lived. And he used to listen to his sessions and then go home or sit in his bus during tour time. And he would write these rap songs based on these theological sessions that he attended. How cool is that? And I'm talking about Ravi Zacharias. I know it's a sad end, but Ravi Zacharias, he would teach, and Lecrae would sit there. You can Google it. He would sit there and write these songs. So I watched Ravi Zacharias, funeral on YouTube. And then Lecrae arrives, and he starts rapping. That's how they ended his funeral service. I was like, wow, that's fascinating. What I'm trying to say is, worship is not about music. It's about lifestyle. Amen. Although they're very important. But it's an overflow of our heart attitude towards God. Worship is our response to God for who He is and what He's done. Expressed in by the things we say, do, and the way we live. Amen. Now I want to give you the scripture. You don't have the slides today on the screen. I didn't get a chance to send them out. And so the team said, you didn't send it on time. I'm not doing them. I said, okay, thank you very much. I'll remember that. Yeah. I'm very forgiving, by the way. You know. Romans 12:1. And it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to who? To God. Because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Then he goes on to say, Paul, this is truly the way to worship Him. So how to worship God is to give your life as a living sacrifice. When you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, that means you're dead, but you're alive. You're dead to the world, you're alive in God, you don't have your own will. Now His will is in your will, and you live for Him, and you die for Him, coming in heart. You know? And so when you do that, and now he's saying, what Paul is saying is, guys, when you give your hearts to God, not some half an hour of singing, Not some time to Jonathan this morning. I thought, whoa, Jonathan, awesome. You played well, but that's awesome. But that is an expression of his relationship with God. Amen. A lot of us today are focused on expression, but God is focused on our heart. God is focused on our lifestyle. No point in Jonathan going Sunday morning, and then out there, he's walking like he doesn't believe in God. That's not worship. Worship is our lifestyle from Sunday to Sunday. I offer my body. Everything I do is my worship unto Jesus. At my work is a worship unto Jesus. When my friends, it's a worship unto Jesus. Amen. When I'm sitting in a cafe, it's a worship unto Jesus. Amen. Last night, we went out for a meal, and we prayed for the meal. And the lady that was serving us, she tapped on my shoulder and she said, I saw you guys praying. It's so nice to see people pray. This is so amazing. I want to shout you guys dessert. I said, hallelujah. Who knew prayer has perks? So if you're afraid of praying, pray for free dessert. Now you will go pray if you're Indian. We Indian, we love all free stuff. Trust us. If it's free, we'll drink it, anything. Yeah. See, it's funny. If you talk to me that way, that's racist. But I can pick on myself. See, the first time the worship started is in Exodus 15, 20, when Miriam used the tambourine. And she started to sing and clap, you know, tambourine, you know, doing those things. That's great. But David came along in the Bible, because until then, you see, worship to God, because God can do many things, but one thing he cannot do, or one of the things he cannot do, is worship himself. God can't worship himself. He can't sit there and go, look at me, I'm amazing. He can't do that. He created you to worship him. One of the primary reasons of our purpose in life is to worship him. And but let me tell you, don't mistake it to thinking worshiping is picking a guitar and playing and singing. No, worship is when I wake up in the morning till I go to bed. Every day I live for Jesus. This is my body and a living sacrifice, and I worship my Heavenly Father. Then came along Miriam, prophet Miriam, and she started to play the tambourine, music, singing, and that got involved. And David, he took it on steroids. David took it, he amplified it. 500 years later, David said, forget little tambourine, let's put trumpets. And he put trumpets, and he put the Levites, when the ark of God was coming, the presence of him, put the Levites, and he said, you guys show us, you rock it. And the Levites were in the front of the ark, and they were going, coming in hot. You know, and then we should play that song sometime, coming in hot, it's a cool song. And but they started, so David kind of introduced singing. He started introducing music, and he just amplified and magnified it. And then that's how it all started. But the primary thing is, I mean, there are a number of stories that David made a mistake and God was upset and he killed Uzzah. There are so many things. What God is interested is our heart. It's our lifestyle. It's not jumping up and down and cymbals and Jesus delivered Joseph. Now, you know, on the drums, it's great. He's a great drummer. We're blessed with great worship team. Amen. You know, we are. But the focus is not just singing and playing. I'm telling you, the focus is when you're going through hell, you are trusting in Jesus. That's worship. When you're sick in your body and in your bed and you're saying, oh gosh, I can't be bothered with this, but I worship you with my life. I worship you with my thoughts. Right now, doubt is creeping in, but God, I take captive of every thought. I pull it down and Lord, lift your name high. Lord, I lift your name high. Lord, you're amazing. Now, no, there's no lights, there's no cameras, there's no smoke that filled the temple, Isaiah. If you read Bible, you will know what I'm talking about. And then there's nothing, there's no one watching you. You're in your bed and you're going, ooh, right now, I don't even want to trust you, but God, I live for you. Now that's worship. Amen. It's not a feeling, it's faith. It's living for Jesus. That's worship. You are, your thoughts, there's a, you're crowded in doubts, and you think, God, I prayed, you didn't answer. I still worship you. God, I'm disappointed. I still worship you. God, I'm a broken man. I still worship you. That's what worship is about. So I want to read this story very quickly. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. I'll read this. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman, I love the way the Bible writes, immoral woman, from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Let me tell you, if a sinner touches God, God is not contaminated, you are cleansed. Amen. Your worship is when you touch God, He's not contaminated, but you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Last week I talked about the ark of God. There was manna, Aaron's rod, and something else was in there quickly. Ten Commandments, that's right. And God put them in there, and He said, what God covered, let no man uncover it. And your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's pick it up. Jesus answered him and his thought. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. And the Pharisee goes, go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 5,000 pieces of silver, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to another. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. So he's looking at the woman that was washing his feet, and he's talking to Simon here. And I want you to be in that place. And then he turned and he said, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare, expensive perfume. I tell you, her sins, and there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is a context here. She was a prostitute. She was an excommunicated. I mean, I've been talking about prostitutes a lot the last 2 weeks. Rahab was a prostitute. We're talking about this immoral woman. And she comes in, and Pharisees, it's about her being holy. Everything was right. Everything was proper. Everything was organized. She, you know, they planned the program because Jesus came in. But this lady comes in, she breaks their program, and all she wants is not the program, but the presence of God. Today, a lot of us talk about programs, but what moves God is our faith, and what moves God is our faith, and the presence comes in when we are walking by faith and touching God. So I've got a few points here, and I'll unpack them briefly. Number one is, worship is not a preference, but a purpose. Worship is not a preference. Now, I tell you what is a preference. The bass guitar is a preference, right? Singing what song, that's a preference. But worship is a purpose. That means your lifestyle. It's a purpose. God's purpose in your life is to be a worshiper. Not just singing that comes only because of your love for Jesus. I tell you, if I don't love my wife and if I sing to her, it means nothing. I can write 100 songs, but if I don't love her, it means nothing to her. Are you getting me? It means nothing to her if I don't love her, but I offer her this ring and this watch and my wallet that I don't have, you know. It means nothing. Why? Because I don't love her. Your worship, your singing, your dancing, your clapping means nothing to God if you don't love Him. Amen. But when you love Him. Yesterday I was doing sound and cute little Bridget walks with the sweets and she's looking at her husband. I wish I had a camera to click that. The love in her eyes and the sweet love in her eyes towards her husband. And she's like, and puts it there because she loves him. And he looks at her and goes, put it there, woman. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. No, no, you're also quick to judge you people. He's a good man, you know. But the love, and you see, when you love, what pleases God is when you love any little thing. When I love my wife, bring her a cup of tea. It's not a 20-carat diamond. I can buy a 20 carats from Countdown. Not 20-carat diamond. But I can bring a carrots. But what matters? Yeah. But what matters is that cup of tea. Because I love her. Love and your sacrifice, life of sacrifice, matters to God more than your singing, more than your clapping hands, and more than you sitting still like that. Or I'm not talking about styles, but when you love, I mean, if I love this girl, I mean, which I do, right? If I love her, I don't go. She did fall for me because I looked at her go. Trust me, I positioned myself wherever she went. I was omnipresent. Wherever she was, I was already there. Why? Because I love her. All I want her to know is to notice me. Because I'm amazing. And I'm interested in you. I want to marry you. Forget Bible college. This is a bridal college. That's where we met. And so what I'm trying to say, when you love, little things matter. But when you don't love, that's why sometimes Paul writes, not sometimes, but Paul writes, you're without love, you're like clinging, cling, 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 clanging cymbals. What Paul is saying in Peter's version, Peter Perimala's version is, without love, you're irritating. Well, I'm using Paul to say what I want to say. But with love, it's important. So love is a purpose, not a preference. Amen. Bold love, bold worship. It's all about this deep relationship with God. It's not about, God, you answered my prayer, so I will worship you now. No, God, you didn't answer my prayer. It's been 3 minutes. You didn't answer my prayer. I don't want to worship you. And let me tell you, there are people that haven't had a prayer answered for 30 years. So you come in 3 minutes and you go, you start judging God and His character. 30 years, but they say, God, I still worship you because you're God. My love, my worship, my lifestyle is not based on results, it's based on faith. I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. My lifestyle, everything about me, I worship you. My life should mean something to you. Amen. I love it when she, second point is that when we worship God, we are saying, I trust you, God. Amen. See, when the lady came, Kara, can you come up here? Can you grab the chair for me, please? Kara, can you come up here? Sit here, please. I'm going to move this here if that's okay. All right. Thank you. You can put it there. Thank you very much. And so I want to illustrate something today to you this morning. And so, see, part of the worship, our actions, because it's a faith action, our action can change the vibe in the room. These guys were having church, but she came and started worshiping Jesus. She was a sinner. She came and she didn't care. And she brought the alabaster box. I've got a little perfume here. Well, it's nice. And she did come. She didn't come and she didn't just go wherever the thing is. Oh, there it is. There it is. And she didn't, you know, a lot of us come to God and she didn't go and she didn't just go, pss, 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 pss. God, I worship you, but do you realize this is very expensive? Okay, so I'm going to only spray a little bit. And that's about me. Thank you very much. Now, this is the thing. I want you to understand. The roles are reversed here. It's the woman that was at his feet. And he was sitting, not on the chair, but he was sitting on the floor. There's a high-rise table, and but we're modernizing it at the moment. I couldn't get a guy come up here to sit down because I'm interested in kissing your feet. I love her. I don't mind kissing her feet. So if you don't mind taking your shoes off, I want to illustrate something to you. Let's do it. Do you want to move this away? Thanks. So she comes because your actions move God while she's taking her feet. Not taking her feet, taking her shoes off. I'm tired. When Stephen was being stoned, not the stone that you're thinking about, when Stephen was being stoned, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It moved Jesus for what Stephen did. It's your actions that move God, not how beautifully you sing. But if your love is for God, and when you sing, he goes, that's my son, that's my daughter. So this lady came, and she was washing. I want you to imagine, as I said to you, I love you, but not as much as my wife. I love you, but I'm not interested in kissing your feet. I keep my notes too, but I want to illustrate. She didn't just bring this, and she didn't go just a little bit here and there. But imagine how, in front of everybody, she was at his feet, right, and kissing it. And crying with her hair, she was wiping his feet. Now, this is an action that was rooted in love. She wasn't trying to show off, but it was pure purity, intimate love, relationship that she touched his feet. This, she broke all the rules. She broke all the regulations. And it was quiet, pompous, programmed. She comes, breaks everything, and she touches and kisses his feet. She didn't just take a little bit and spray and say, I love you. My point is, stay there. When we worship God, we are saying, I trust you, God. When you come here and you say, God, I worship you, that means you're saying, I trust you, God. You being here is a faith statement saying that I trust and I want to live for God. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you no matter what. My life at the moment stings, but I still worship you. These very people, you call me a prostitute, but God, I worship you. He was crying, paraphrasing now. But I worship you, Jesus. All these people are misunderstanding me, but I still worship you. Because my love for you is pure. That's all it matters to me. Now, I don't worship like these crusty old Christians. Some are like this, some are like this, some are like this, some are like this, some are like this. That's not what it's about. It's about, I just want to worship you. I want to sit by your feet and seek you, be in your presence. I want to show you that I trust you no matter what's happening in my life. Number three is worship is not about us. We make worship about us. Look at me. I've been pastoring for, I've been in ministry for 24 years, and I've seen people that come. Recently we had a guy here who went, hoo, ha, hoo, like kung fu. And then when Dan got up to preach, he got up and he left. I don't know if you noticed that. I was this close to go telling him, next to him, and say, buddy, you need to chill it a bit. Because it's a true worship doesn't attract to self. True worship is not about us. It's not about how beautifully you sing or you jump around. True worship is a lifestyle. It's about God. It's not about her. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about God. Are you living your life for the glory of God? Is your life radiating the glory of God? She didn't make it about herself. She didn't. I just want to show you. I want to try this too. I've come prepared. Jesus was nailed. You didn't bring coffee. I know I did get my coffee. Thank you for my coffee, Cara. She made me a coffee this morning. I know I'm not preaching the regular way, but I don't care. I want to bring a point across to us. I want to bring a point across to us this morning, and I pray that you get this point. I pray you get this point. I'm trying to keep it all, health and safety. She didn't just pray a little bit. This was expensive perfume. She brought everything she had. What did you bring today? What did you bring today? To Jesus. She brought everything she had. And the religious people sat there and go, what a waste of money. Some pragmatic people would have said, we could have fed people, homeless people with, it's about $80,000 or $90,000. What's the average income in Auckland nowadays? 85, 90, 100, I don't know. That was the value of the perfume. She didn't give a little, she gave everything. She gave him everything she had. And I wrote here, she didn't do this. She goes, worshiping God in the breaking, that means in your struggle, will bring the breakthrough. If I say, who wants breakthrough? Most hands will go up. We want a breakthrough, but we don't want to be broken. Amen. We want everything from God, but we only want to give a little thing to God. Because, can I suggest, because it's logical doesn't make it biblical. What she did to the people, Pharisees, was foolishness, but for God it pleased him. It pleased him. And he said in John, Matthew and Mark, they recorded that what she did here today, as long as the gospel's been talked about, her story will be talked about too. And we are talking about her story today. And she puts it there. I haven't tried this. Don't try it at home. One shot. That was an expensive perfume. I'm already smelling it. When your life is broken for Jesus, You bring this beautiful fragrance to the nostrils of God. It's not what you do, it's who you are. When your life is broken, I wish you can see. You can see it. You can smell it. And I believe that as she did this, this glass, but she was touching his feet and kissing his feet and anointing. We need breaking in our lives for a breakthrough. If you're going through a difficult time, don't give up. God is breaking you because he's put something great inside you. And how can it be enjoyed? How can it bring that fragrance if it's not broken? We need to be crushed. We sing that song, Brooke Fraser's song, the wine song, new wine. You know, a wine song. But it's crushing. In the crushing, in the breaking, there's new wine. If you're going through hardship, trust in God. Allow the breakthrough. Allow the breaking for the breakthrough. It's all on this. I want to touch it. I want to touch the fragrance. And my last point is this. May our lifestyle as worship be the fragrance to his nostrils. Amen. May our lifestyle be fragrance to his nostrils. In 2 Corinthians, this is my last point, but in 2 Corinthians, it's for chapter 2, verse 15, it says, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. That's our worship. 2 Corinthians 2:15. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. To Jericho, Elijah was a life-giving perfume. I was talking to him this week, last week. And who is adequate for such a task as this? And so now that I'm touching the presence of God, I'm in his presence, now wherever I walk, I smell that fragrance. Smell it. You smell it. So wherever I go now, you smell me, Kalindu. Wherever I go, you can smell it. And what God wants is that our lives become a fragrant offering unto God. That we don't just smell beautiful in the four walls of this church, but because I've been with God, now I smell like him. I know, hi, I'm Peter. I know it's weird today, but that's okay. We do weird here. We're called peculiar people. Look at that. Smell that. You see, wherever I go, hello, Mr. Ogle, smell me. By the way, I want to say with him, we were up on the new building roof last week, and he's on a cherry picker. And he's driving himself down, and it got stuck in the middle. It was hilarious. I'll find the video sometime and show it to you. I videoed it. But you see, you can smell me. I smell like a girl, but that's okay. You can smell me because I've been with Jesus. They can smell you because you've been with Jesus. Can I ask you a question? What will your smell, now what will your friends smell on you during the week? Is it God? Or is it a stinky smell? Is it just as everyone in the world? Hey, buddy. He just punched me. But you see, this is a smell. What will your friends, Miller, what will they smell on you? What kind of smell? Do they say, wow, his character, his lifestyle is different to hers? She stinks. But he's, yes. No, you're marrying her soon. Don't say yes. You know? Yeah. It's over, buddy. Over, Joe. Come on. She stinks, but he smells beautiful because he's with Jesus. What are your colleagues talking about you at office? Can they recognize the character of God? Or can they smell the bad smell? What is a bad smell? Complaining? Whinging? Moaning? We are like the Israelites. We're professional complainers. We complain about everything. I was doing that this morning while I was checking Helen out from my hotel. I said, come on, guys, do it quick. I got to go. So Jesus said, you need patience, Peter. I said, I forgive him, Lord. It's his problem. You see, when you're with Jesus, you smell like him. Oh, as I conclude this morning, if you think you're being hammered by God, the Bible says in Jeremiah, I don't know where exactly, but his word came like a hammer. His word came like a hammer. I pray if you're in a difficult spot today, allow the hammering of God. Allow the crushing of God. It pleased the Father to chastise his own Son. Why? Because the death of Christ on the cross, as Rick mentioned today, we don't take communion for us, but we remember what he did. Now the death of Christ has brought fragrance to this world. Now you can bring fragrance to God. Can I have someone to, John, please? Thank you. I want to read Song of Solomon as I close this morning. Yeah, you can put them in here. That's full of glass. This is like a family, isn't it? It's not orchestrated. It's not coordinated. I just thought, let it just flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Not let it go. Still smells. This room is smelling the fragrance. Can you smell it there? That's how your lifestyle is a worship unto God. Amen. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. How amazing is that? Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10 to 6. I want to read this to you. Song of Solomon, if you're taking notes, chapter 5, verse 10 to 6. This is Shulamite woman talking about her lover, her beloved. And she says, my lover is dark and dazzling. Yeah. Kiara? Yeah. Dark is good. It's in the... Tiffany, you're really laughing. You're a big smile. Why, I wonder? Dark is biblical. Dark is good. My lover is dark and dazzling. Better than 10,000 others. Hallelujah. His head is finest gold. His wavy hair is black as a raven. His eyes sparkle like doves beside spring of water. They are set like jewels washed in milk. His cheeks are like a garden of spices giving off fragrance. His lips are like lilies perfumed with myrrh. His hands are like rounded bars of gold set with beryl. His body is like bright ivory glowing with lapis and lazuli, whatever that is. His legs are like marble pillars set in sockets of finest gold. His posture is stately like the noble cedars of Lebanon. His mouth is sweetness in itself. He is desirable in every way. Such, O woman of Jerusalem, is my lover Jesus, is my friend Jesus. He is desirable in every way. Such is my Jesus. And I worship him. Can I have the worship team, please? He's better than the thousands. He's better than the thousands. He's better than the thousands. So for me, as I said, bold worship. Hallelujah. Your action comes because of your love for God. You know, I didn't know about worship. I didn't know about standing, singing, lifting hands, all of that. I didn't know because I come from a very orthodox religious background, upbringing. But when I had my leg problem, as most of you know, with my DVT, deep vein thrombosis, and I had an ulcer because it was misdiagnosed, I was in church one day with excruciating pain. I didn't want to go to church. I was still, I think I was 18, 19. I didn't want to go to church, but I was determined to go because something in me said, no, go. It's better to be in the house of God than lie in my bed and feel sorry for myself. I didn't really want to sit there and feel sorry for myself. I wanted to be in the house of God, amongst people of faith, amongst people who are going to lift me up, and I'm going to focus on God. If I was at home in bed resting, I would be focusing on my leg. But I thank God I was in church. And I was in church, I was at the back. And then the worship leader was, you know, they were having a great time. They were jumping up and down. And I said to myself, I can't jump up and down. I can't do that because I'm in pain. But something in me said, Peter, start hopping on the leg that hurts. And my mind said, you are foolish. But my spirit said, go for it. And I said, oh no, I can't do this. It hurts. But something in me said, do it. So there I was, hopping like this in one spot on my left leg. The more I hopped on it, the more it was sore. Remember this, I should be in bed resting it up. I knew if I rested it, I would be depressed. It's a prolonged sickness. I'll tell you a story sometime soon. But I'd rather come into the house, and when I come, I thought I was doing God a favor just being in the house. But I felt to jump on that leg, and I thought that's foolishness. If I was leading worship, I would jump so people can see it and admire me. No, I was at the back, jumping. It hurt, jumping. It hurt. My mind saying, this is foolish, Peter. This is foolish. And I kept doing it. And I did it because, God, my faith is in you. So I'm going to jump and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to hop. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to hop. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to hop. I'm going to worship you. And as I do that, Lord, would you heal me? And I got to tell you, before I got healed that day of the pain, not DVT, that's another story, but of the pain went up high. It just peaked. If 10 is bad, it was 15. I still jumped because my faith, because I loved him, I didn't care. I wasn't doing it for people. I wasn't doing it for Jesus. So I don't know what bold worship looks like for you. It might not be logical. You may go, I don't even want to sing because it's pointless. I don't even believe in God. It's pointless. Still do it anyway. Don't depend on your feelings. Do it by faith. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit touch us this morning. Can we stand to our feet? What we are about to do as we sing now, it's not about a song. Don't fill it in the song. But what is bold worship to you? And let your life be that fragrance. Thank you, Pastor Helen. Hallelujah.